Ryan O'Hearn. Is that going to be a Sonic slam? And it is. Ryan O'Hearn hits a two-run home run. Driving in Hanser Alberto.
And that was the only highlight for the Royals offensively as the Royals strike out double-digit times again yesterday, 10 times. They struck out 36 times in a three-game series, which means that 43% of the Royals' outs were recorded without putting the ball in play. Struck out 43% of the time. Baseball continues to have a huge problem, and it's going to be a problem for a while because nobody cares if they strike out anymore. Jorge Soler, it's basically hit a home run or strike out. He does nothing else. And right now he's striking out a lot. He strikes out two times every single game. He's got a good streak going. And the Royals have got to figure a way to score some runs. They only scored five. Actually, not even. Yeah, that's right. Five. 2-1 and two. Those are the runs they scored in the three-game series against the Rays. Good thing is they hung in there the first two games. But yesterday, Brady Singer was drilled and went to the showers early. So Royals lose the series 2-1. And Singer left early, as we mentioned. He went just 2 2/3. Jacob Junis with 2 1/3. Wade Davis, two innings, a scoreless ball. Irvin Santana with the final inning. And O'Hearn with the offensive highlight, a two-run homer. And that was basically it for the Royals. They're down 3-0 after the first inning and could not recover. Boys in blue are now 23-25. The Rays now improved to 32-20. And the Royals will be in action tonight. Chris Bubich on the hill, no record, but he has the ERA 1.52 against the struggling Twins, who are 20-29. But that's in Minnesota, 6-10 first pitch tonight for the Royals. All right, local sports. We'll get into state track and field. Also, Minneapolis baseball team with a big win yesterday. So we'll cover a little bit what happened. And there was a game, and last I checked, it was a 15-inning game last night. It was still going when I went to bed between Colgan and Valley Falls. So we'll let you know who won that game. And I don't know how they're going to have much pitching left going into the state semifinals, but they both lose, really, honestly. At least you would think so. But anyway, crazy game there in state baseball as well.
Yeah, we'll tell you about Minneapolis state baseball first, and then we'll kind of preview the state track there. Also, Minneapolis in the 3A state tournament beginning things yesterday. And then that was at Toynton Family Stadium in Manhattan, Class 3A. The 7-seeded Lions dominated the number 2-seed Wichita Collegiate, winning 11-0 in six innings to advance to the semifinals there. So they'll move on to take on Rock Creek today. And that's a semifinal game starts at 11 o'clock this morning in Class 3A. They will move on to the state championship, the winner will of that Rock Creek Minneapolis game at 5:45 today face either Anderson County or Frontenac. So that's 3A baseball there yesterday. We gave you the update on the Bullet Trojans as far as that was concerned.
Okay, so let me put closure on. Okay. I bring it up. I want closure to it.
Yeah.
So Valley Falls beat Pittsburgh Coyle last night in a 15-inning first-round state baseball game in Class 2-1A. Went 15 innings, so they basically played two games instead of one. 15 innings, and Valley Falls beat Pittsburgh Colgan by a final of 3-2. So great pitching, good defense, low scoring a game. And at that level, to be just 3-2 through 15 innings in high school baseball is pretty impressive. Congrats to Colgan and Valley Falls on a wonderful game. Valley Falls now will play Ellis at 1:15 this afternoon. So a quick turnaround for Valley Falls, and who knows what pitching they have left against Ellis. So Ellis might reap the benefits of that long game yesterday. But how about these scores in 2-1A baseball? Ellis won 5-4 over Maranatha. Valley Falls won in 15 innings, 3-2 over Colgan. Sedgwick won 3-2 over Belle Plaine, and Colony Crest lost 4-2 to Spearville. Every one of those games was close, tight. Two runs was the biggest margin. So I'd say that's a pretty good state baseball tournament in Class 2-1A. And in Minneapolis, as you mentioned, in Class 3A, getting it done yesterday. Spencer Davidson did a great job, and they got the bats going. So Minneapolis rolling Collegiate, and they get Rock Creek, as you said, at 11 a.m. this morning. And the other half of that bracket, Anderson County, will take on Frontenac. And see, in this one, it was interesting because Anderson County, the one seed, beat Hugoton 1-0, and Frontenac beat Heston 17-3. Of course, Minneapolis beat Collegiate 11-0, and Rock Creek beat Bishop Ward 8-5. So a few blowouts there, but a great game between the 8 seed Hugoton and the 1 seed Anderson County that was won by Anderson County. 1-0. That was it. All there was, one run, but that was enough to move Anderson County into the semifinals. So best of luck to Minneapolis this morning at 11 o'clock. It'll start here in about an hour and 40 minutes against Rock Creek, and they're in Manhattan. All right, now we can move on to the track.
Yes, we told you about the Bullet Trojans and what they're doing today. They're on our last report, so we'll kind of preview what's coming up tomorrow with our area athletes. Again, we have 74 total athletes competing in 1A and 2A tomorrow, so we'll keep an eye on them. And 10 of those, as I mentioned on that report, will be in Class 2A with Smith Center, and then the 64 others are competing in Class 1A. We do have a lot of area athletes that are competing for a lot of different teams. Again, we took with you with 10 for Smith Center in Class 2A, and then on the 1A side of things, St. John's Blue Jays, they'll hope to bring a team trophy home after winning the 1A regional in Mankato last Friday. Caleb Eilert's qualified for state in three events. Braden Perez is in four events when you include the 4x1 and 4x4 relays. Both the 4x1 and 4x4 for St. John's seated in the top three, so we'll keep an eye on that, and they have good chances to maybe get themselves into the top spots there in those relays if they can have a good day here tomorrow. Then on the girls' side, Lauren Dubert for St. John's qualified for state in all four of her events. She actually has the best throw this year in the javelin in Class 1A, and she'll also compete in the pole vault in both the 100 and 300-meter hurdles. Jane Letourneau also qualified for state in the 1600 and 3200 for St. John's. For the Lakeside girls, Lauren Brummett qualified in two events, set the school record in the javelin with the regional championship last week, and all the Lakeside girls competing in six different events as they'll look to have a good chance to get some good finishes there and put themselves in position to bring home some state medals. Also on the boys' side for the Knights, Wyatt Everly qualified for state in three events, and Jay Schoen in two as well. Another top area athlete to keep an eye on will be J.C. Vath of Lincoln. She was the senior, or she was a sophomore state champion in 2019 in both the 1600 and 3200-meter runs, back in those events at state as a senior this year, and she'll also be in the 800-meter coming up tomorrow. These are just the main highlights. Again, we have a lot of area athletes competing. The Osborne boys have a great contingent at state. Mason Shears qualified in four events, the 100, 200, both the 4x1 and 4x4 has the top time. Shear does this year in the 200, while Osborne's 4x1 has the top time as well. And then Reagan Bales, part of the 4x400-meter relay team and also qualified individually in the 800 and 1600, registered the top time in 1A in the 800 this year. Tipton has multiple athletes competing. They're paced by Jalen Weesey on the girls' side, who's qualified in three events, 400 dash in the 4x4 and 4x8 relays. We'll also keep an eye on athletes from Pike Valley, Sylvan Lucas, and Thunder Ridge that have qualified for state coming up on Saturday. So those are the ones we're keeping an eye on. Again, we'll have reports definitely coming up each half hour after 10 o'clock today as well still, and then until the meet is finished in Class 3A with the Beloit Trojans and all their competitors today. And then we'll have updates coming up tomorrow beginning just after 9 o'clock, and then every half hour after that giving you updates on the 1A and 2A participants there at State Track and Field, Cessna Stadium in Wichita. They're underway again today with the 3A and 4A action. Again, as always, you can check out ncksports.com. There's a complete rundown of all of our area athletes if you'd like to just follow that instead of trying to follow all the live results. You can find all the area athletes. One of those tabs is listed by time. The other tab is listed by school, so you can see all your area athletes just by the school. You don't have to search for anything there. Just on that one Google Drive document, again, go to ncksports.com. You can find all that information right at your fingertips. So State Track and Field is rolling here today, and continuous reports coming up here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com today and tomorrow.
All right, here from the coaches, Ben Letourneau of St. John's.
Boys did excellent at the regional meet. You know, we had a lot of top performances. Not everybody had their PRs for the year, which is what you don't really hope for that at regionals. All you're looking for is to qualify, and we qualified all that we had hoped we would, and maybe a few more. As far as overall team points, if you look at regional performances straight across the board in the seeds, you know, that puts us at fifth place as a team, but there's only 5 or 6 points between fifth and third. So as far as our chances for bringing home a trophy, I think they're pretty good. If we have a good day on Saturday and everybody performs at what they can, we should do great and maybe even move up into those higher positions.
So that's St. John's perspective for state tomorrow in Wichita, and also tomorrow is Lakeside, and here's assistant coach Scott Germark on their chances.
I really think as long as the kids compete to the best of their abilities and believe in themselves, I think they'll put themselves in really good position to succeed and, you know, just place within the top eight and get on the podium. And, you know, most of them have really started to come on here lately and get in the top eight and let the chips fall where they may.
So once again, we'll have reports throughout today and tomorrow of State Track and Field for you here on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. Told you about the Royals. They lose 7-2 yesterday. Back in action tonight at 6:10 against the Twins. KU and K-State know their early season game kickoff times, and I just crack up. I mean, just people that absolutely overly freak out about a game time now. We don't even freak out about games. Now we're freaking out what time we play, what channel we're on. It's like, oh, my God, there was date. Nobody knows anything about history anymore. You know that your games weren't always on TV? Do you know that most of the time you couldn't even watch KU or K-State on TV when it came to football? In fact, I remember the Sunflower Showdown, you couldn't watch on TV, and that wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And yet we're whining about, well, K-State's got to play Stanford on FS1. So it's a big network. FS1 is legitimate, but everybody figured it was going to be on ESPN. Well, that was your fault. You assumed it. K-State fans freaking out about a game time, for crying out loud. Okay, you know who should freak out? It's not K-State, it's Stanford. Stanford should freak out because that guy get up early to watch the game. The game's at 9 a.m. on the West Coast. That's the part I don't get. But K-State plays Stanford. Of course, there's been all kinds of controversy about the game leaving Manhattan and going to Jerry Jones Dome World, that you want to call it, his stadium, playing Stanford. And still, at the end of the day, as John Kurtz puts, and he's still right, I know people don't like it, but it was about money. Everything's about money, people. Everything's about money. And K-State makes some extra money by playing this game outside of Manhattan. Does it hurt businesses in Manhattan? Yeah, if they had already budgeted to have that home game and spent all kinds of money on supplies, but they're still going to have lots of home games in Manhattan. Would you rather have Stanford and K-State in Manhattan if you're a K-State business owner in Aggieville and everything? Sure, absolutely. Absolutely you would. Duh. I mean, you'd love to have every game at home and no road games. I mean, ideally. But that's not what happens. It's not like they're getting robbed only going to have four home games this year. There's going to be plenty of home games. Now, you can argue about the quality of the home games, so forth and so on. And I get it. I understand. If I'm a business owner, I'm probably perturbed that the game's leaving Manhattan when it was going to be a home game. I get it. I understand the anger, I guess. I do get that. For K-State fans, you know, that's one less game for you to be able to go to. It would have been the season opener in Manhattan after everything we had with COVID and not getting to go to games. I understand that, although you'll get the next week. Just wait one more week, and you got a home game at 6 o'clock in Southern Illinois. I know Southern Illinois isn't Stanford, but it would be a home game in Manhattan. You don't have to travel to Dallas and watch Stanford and K-State. Maybe you still will. Some people are upset because it's 11 a.m. kickoff and they had plans to go down and high school game on Friday, so now they can't go and get down there in time. Well, I mean, you never did know what the game time was, so there's always that chance that could have happened. I don't know what people are expecting. ESPN have it as a primetime game on Saturday, the first week of the season. Was that what people were expecting? I don't know exactly what people are expecting, other than they're expecting ESPN, and apparently they're expecting a 2:30 or a primetime evening kickoff, apparently. Why didn't people actually think, there is a time slot that's been there for quite some time called 11 a.m., and there is another sports network called FS1. Yeah. Did anybody ever think about that? Yeah.
My mind would have thought, because what they're pushing right now in the conference and on the network is the big noon kickoff, which is noon on the East Coast. It's 11 o'clock for us, right?
Right.
And so I thought maybe it'd be the big noon kickoff game on Fox, right? That's kind of what was in my mind. I thought might be the case. But big noon kickoff on FS1, let's go play the game.
Yeah. So anyway,
unless you're going, I actually like 11 a.m. games better if I'm not there, right? If it's a road game or neutral game like this, right? I actually like it at 11 o'clock and we can watch the game and then move on with the rest of our day.
Yeah. But
now when I'm going to the game, I don't really like it because I like tailgate and you got to get there, you know, 7, 8 in the morning if you want to do any kind of good tailgating before the 11 o'clock game. So,
right.
But yeah, I don't know what people are expecting. I think people expected that because they're moving it to Dallas, right? They're moving it because we wanted it on network TV, or not on network, but on ESPN, on the prime, on the prime spot, maybe a prime kickoff time, a better kickoff time for more people to watch. I don't know what they were wanting.
I don't know. It gets to
I want
to
watch
where...
Stanford and Manhattan personally, but we've moved that on and that's not an option anymore. So
it just feels to me like we're complaining about every single little thing anymore. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like if the game was at 2:30, people would be complaining because now it's in the middle of the day. I'd rather have it at 11, or it's 2:30. Well, why are we not on? We're on ESPN2. Why aren't we on ESPN? Well, it's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock is the prime time slot. Like, oh my God, your game's on TV. Okay, you can watch it. unlike Royals fans that can't get it. Okay? And if anybody should be complaining about this, honestly, more so is Stanford. 9 a.m. is the kickoff for them. Mm-hmm. K-State fans, it could be worse. It could be 9 a.m. kickoff. So, I mean, I understand the angst. I get it. I guess I'm tired of hearing all the complaining about every single freaking thing. My Lord. All right? Get over it. It's a football game, 11 a.m. You weren't, more than likely, you weren't going to the game anyway because it's in Dallas. If you were, well, guess what? Go down the day before. All right? Get a hotel the night before. Get up, tailgate early in the morning. And guess what? You can come home sooner. All right? There's a pro and a con to it. You got to go there a little sooner. You come back sooner. Or you got more time to spend down there. Yeah. Maybe that's the other thing. Oh, now, I get it. If you have high school commitments and this and that, but it probably was going to be kind of tight anyway. Mm-hmm. If you were going to, I mean, unless you were expecting a 7 o'clock kickoff, you were going to have a tight window anyway, because high school game is going to go till 9:30, 10 o'clock. If you're saying, let's just say it's in Manhattan High. Let's say a parent's involved in Manhattan High, their kid plays high school football. You ain't getting out of Manhattan until 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were going to get to where? Were you going to go halfway, all the way to Dallas? I mean, you can still go to the game. You can drive after the high school game. You can drive all the way, all night long, rotate driving. I've done it before. Yeah. And you go on down, you get the game, and then you can go back to the hotel and take a nap. I mean, if you really want to go, you can go. You know, I know it's not convenient. I get that. It's not convenient at all for some people that are planning on going on Saturday, thinking the game would be later in the day. But nobody ever told you the game was going to be later in the day. Mm-hmm. So you're getting mad at something that you were assuming and thinking that wasn't even put in stone yet. Wasn't even put in pencil. All we knew was September 4th, Stanford, K-State in Jerry's gigantic stadium. That's all we knew. So I understand if the game was already scheduled and it was going to be on ESPN primetime 7 o'clock and you made all your plans and you booked your hotel room and you planned and you knew, hey, I had a high school game Friday. I can take my time. I can sleep in even a little bit and then get on the road. We'll go on down there. I would understand that just horrible, horrible backlash. I would get that. The game suddenly was moved from 7 p.m. to 11 a.m. from ESPN to FS1. Now, I would understand all of that because you already had plans. You already booked stuff. If you did that assuming a certain game time, that's your fault.
Yeah.
So I just feel like all we want to do is whine and complain about every single thing. Now, Oklahoma's complaining as well. By the way, it's not just K-State fans. Oklahoma's athletic director is all upset because Oklahoma-Nebraska is going to be 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
And do you know that one of the best games that they had since I've been alive was in Nebraska upset Oklahoma, Eric Crouch. I remember because I lived up in Nebraska at the time, early 2000s. That game, you know what time that game was kicked off? That ended up being a really good game, Nebraska upset Oklahoma. Do you know what time that game kicked off?
11.
11 a.m. Yeah. It was a morning game. So Oklahoma's all mad because it's 11 a.m. game. Well, at least you're playing Nebraska because Nebraska there for a little while wanted to play Louisiana instead of Oklahoma. So you're still going to get to play Nebraska. And if you're a TV network, I'm going to be quite honest. Nebraska's not anything what they once were. And Oklahoma is going to be a really great team again. And if I'm a network, and I don't know what all the choices they have, but I'm guessing they have plenty of other choices, they're sitting there going, you know what? Oklahoma-Nebraska is probably not going to be that great of a game. I mean, it's a rivalry, maybe, whatever. But we can build it up. But still, at the end of the day, we think it's not going to be that close of a football game. We're going to put it at 11 o'clock. All right? We're going to put it at 11 o'clock. And if you're Nebraska, you'd probably be thankful it's 11 o'clock. Because earlier in the day, by the end of the day, you forget about that game if it was a blowout or one way or the other. And maybe that's what K-State fans are upset about. We go beat Stanford, people are going to forget about it by 7 o'clock because the game was all the way early, 11 a.m. Maybe there's a point to that. I don't know. But Oklahoma's all mad because their game's at 11 a.m. And this just in to Oklahoma. Nebraska's not very good at football right now. So this just in. It isn't the old glory days. You know, when Nebraska left the Big 12, Nebraska was still decent. Nebraska's not very good right now. So this just in, Oklahoma Sooner fans. It's great you're playing Nebraska again, but it ain't the same Nebraska that you once played. Now, maybe if you play each other in a non-con for years to come and Nebraska gets back to where they were, then that's a heck of a game, and I guarantee it won't be 11 a.m. It'll be prime time, 7 o'clock on ABC or ESPN, I guarantee you. But right now, Oklahoma's carrying the weight. And Nebraska's got to figure. It's a great opportunity for Nebraska. No matter what time of day it is, because you have a chance to knock off a ranked team, a highly ranked team in the non-con. So great opportunity, Nebraska. If you're Oklahoma, you have more to lose because you're the favorite going in. And Oklahoma's all worried about what time the game kicks off. And I understand. Oklahoma's had lots of games that have been 11 a.m., even Texas, Oklahoma sometimes, which used to be always in the morning anyway. I understand if you get tired of all the 11 a.m.s and you want some variety in regards to kickoffs for your teams. I do understand that part. But it's Nebraska-Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got to understand Nebraska's not what they once were. And it still will be a big deal. It will be to Oklahoma-Nebraska fans. But here's the thing that Oklahoma-Nebraska fans don't understand. It's not as big a deal to the rest of the country. No, you know why? Because Nebraska's not what they once were.
It's not the 70s or 80s or even 90s.
Right. Right. So we got an AD that's all mad sending out a statement, Oklahoma, because their game in Nebraska is 11 a.m. You got K-State fans all riled up because the game's 11 a.m. against Stanford. And then they're all riled up because it's not on ESPN. It's like, oh, my goodness gracious. Now the next two games for K-State. Then after that, September 11th against Southern Illinois on ESPN+. And then game three in Nevada, home game at 1:05 in the afternoon. That's on ESPN+. So people are upset about that. Well, our first three games, not a single one's on ESPN. Not a single one's on Fox. They're on FS1 and then ESPN Now, ESPN Now. Actually, they are on ESPN. They're just ESPN Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So K-State fans aren't happy with the game times and this and that. You know what? I'm just happy we're on football and people can go to games again.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm a little more like, I really don't care what time the game is. I'm going to take my kid. He's a K-State fan. He wants to go to a game. He's 7. You know what? As long as the game's in Manhattan, I'm going to make it happen to take him to one of those games. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 1:05, 6 o'clock, 3:30. I might care if it's 9 a.m. But anyway, bottom line is, I'm going to get my kid there. If it's a priority, I'm going to go. All right? I'm going to find a way. I'm going to go. And that's really what it comes down to. Stanford, K-State. Is it convenient 11 a.m.? Probably not. Could be some pros and cons to having it done early, like Dusty said. You roll with the flow. You can't control everything in your life, so you roll with the flow. If it's really super important for you to go to Dallas and go to watch K-State, Stanford, you will find a way to make it happen. It's as simple as that. You know how many times my kids involved in traveling basketball, and there's tournaments all these years, baseball, basketball, football. You know how many times things aren't convenient for me?
A lot of times.
A lot of times. But yet I make it because I want to support my kid. I want to watch my kid play. You think it was convenient to wake up Sunday morning at 6:30 to go to an 8 a.m. Basketball game on a Sunday, one game only? Do you think that's really great and awesome? And did I like it? No. Did I complain all the time about it? No. I was just like, it is what it is. I can't change it. I'll get up early. Don't like it. I'll go to bed a little bit earlier the night before. Compensate. Get up early. But the good thing, as I said to my son, I know it's early. You don't want to play that early in the morning, 8 o'clock. But I said, then we have the rest of the day free. We can get home sooner, and we can do stuff at home.
Yeah.
So there should always be a positive to counter the negative, right? And there should be.
Yeah.
But people get all caught up in all the negatives and everything else. Okay, so that's K-State situation. KU situation is they've moved their first two games to Friday. And that's, you talk about, now see, at least at K-State, 11 a.m. game and a high school game on a Friday, you still can make it work to get to Dallas. You could. It wouldn't be ideal. Don't get me wrong. I totally get it won't be ideal. It would really be a stretch to probably make it all work. I do get that. Trust me, I do. But at least the college game, K-State and Stanford isn't at 7 o'clock on Friday night, because that's what KU has. KU in South Dakota, 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus to start the year. Then at Coastal Carolina on a Friday night, 6:30 on ESPN 2. And then they're on ESPN Plus against Baylor at 2:30 on a Saturday, finally September 18th. So you can sit here and K-State fans can complain about their schedule. And, you know, you can complain all you want until your dreams come true, as I say. And KU can complain about their schedule. KU's first two games are on Friday night directly against high school football. And their third game, two of the first three are on ESPN Plus, just like K-State.
Yeah.
Now, K-State fans will say, well, yeah, but we're a better program than KU, so that's like equal. And they're on ESPN 2, and we're on FS1. Well, and they've got 6:30 p.m., and we got 11 a.m. Yeah, but they're playing on a Friday, and you're going to be still playing on a Saturday. So, yeah, give and take. What's more important to you? Is there a big difference between ESPN 2 and FS1? I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I don't think there is.
If you have it all, there's no difference. I mean, from that aspect, I don't feel like anyway. Right. Some people might, but
right. And by the way, once again, Coastal Carolina is hosting KU, and that has been a bad game for KU the last couple of years. And that's primetime at 6:30. I mean, KU might be sitting there going, you know what, we'll trade your game time. We'll play 11 a.m. on Saturday. And K-State, you can go to Coastal Carolina and play them at 6:30 on Friday night. But those are the first three games for KU. So anyway, let all your complaining commence. Keep going. Whatever you want to do about the schedule. You can't control it. You might not like it. And at the end of the day, what everybody needs to understand when it comes to college athletics, they don't really, they say they care about the fans, and they do to an extent, but college athletics is a business no different, really, honestly, than professional sports. It's becoming that way. And so if you really feel that their top priority is the fans, I think you're naive. The top priority in athletic department now is making money. Especially after what happened with COVID and not having fans in the stands. And so whatever you want to get TV exposure, yeah, help with recruiting. Obviously not Friday night when all the high school kids you want to recruit are actually playing. But anyway, it's about money. And that's exactly why K-State's playing Stanford in Dallas. It's about money. Oh, yeah. It's as simple as that. If K-State really, truly, absolutely cared about their fans and truly, absolutely cared about the community and the businesses there and wanted to keep the game local, they could have. They had that option.
Absolutely. That's what it was on the schedule
to be. That's exactly
right. Obviously had that option.
So if you sit here and you tell me K-State's all about their fans, you're going to tell me that K-State's all about their fans and K-State's all about their community. That's bogus, as Dusty likes to use as a word. Bogus. And honestly, in fairness to K-State, K-State's no different than any other Power 5 Division I team in all of this country. KU obviously sold themselves out to play on Friday nights opposite high school football. They don't care about their fans. They don't care about high school football. And they're going to do whatever it takes to, if they get more money, they'll get more money, whether it's $10,000, $100,000, even more so now after the money that these colleges lost because of COVID. Even more so, you're going to see teams and programs sell out for the almighty dollar, even worse than ever before. And I know it stinks, and you can complain about it, but it's just a sad fact of life. It revolves around the almighty dollar. If K-State was told that they'd get paid $5 million per game to move every single home game out of Manhattan, do you think they would do it? Yes, they would. They would. Well, they got seven home games now that they don't have the Stanford game. Yeah. If they were offered $5 million every game to move the game from Manhattan to Kansas City, that'd be $35 million. Who wouldn't do that? They would do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
They would. They'd give up all their home games, and not just K-State. Everybody would because it's chasing the almighty dollar. It's money, 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 money. And it, you know who suffers? Fans. Fans suffer when schools like Nebraska leave the Big 12 to go to the Big 10, and then those fans suffer because there's no big rivalry in the Big 10 anymore, and then they suffer as a program because it's a whole new recruiting hotbed. They got to go recruit. They've got different teams. They got to play against universities. There's not the old heritage of, hey, we always played Oklahoma. Now we're trying to revive that. Now all of a sudden we're upset because of 11 a.m. The bottom line is things do change, but it's not about the fans. These things are not about the fans. It's about money. Why did Nebraska leave the Big 12? Well, we don't like Texas. No, that was part of it. It was about money. That's why Nebraska left. It wasn't because they cared about their fans. They didn't give a rat's you-know-what about their fans. They were all about the money. That's why they left the conference. Okay, that's why Missouri left. They gave up a big rival at Kansas, and then they wanted their cake and their icing and everything else on top of it. Well, I don't know why, okay, you didn't want to play us. You left and deserted the conference, okay? You went AWOL for a little while. You got the whole, you kicked the tires and got everything started to where Nebraska, actually, people wanted them more than you anyway, Missouri. So then Missouri goes to the SEC. They left because of, not the fans, they left because of money. Why do you think these games get moved from a home site to a neutral site somewhere else? It's because of money and usually, hopefully, exposure. So it ain't about the fans. It ain't about the local businesses. It's like, you know, well, that's great. You guys got businesses. You'll be okay. You know, seven home games instead of eight will be fine. You'll be all right. And we'll go ahead and go to Dallas and cash our check. And like I said, Kansas State's just the example because they have the first game we're talking about where they've done that to start the season. KU is no different. Oklahoma's no different. K-State is no, or Nebraska's no different. None of these schools are any different. They will absolutely do whatever they got to do. And some people may even say sell their soul to the devil because they need money or they want money.
Yeah.
Because it is an arms race. In college sports, it's an arms race. What do I mean by that? It's an arms race from the standpoint of you've got to keep up with all the facilities. You got to spend money. And as soon as you get everything the way you want it, now you're outdated. Now you got to go put more money in. You got to get alums. You got to get donors. You got to get boosters. You got to get people to kick in money. You got to be on, you got to have some exposure. You got to put your program, you got to get the money wherever you can. If you can take an extra $2 million or whatever K-State's getting by moving that game to Dallas, that's whatever that money can go into what? Addition to the practice facility, addition to the football stadium to get more suites. Who knows where they put the money towards so they can make more money. That's what's called a business. You make the money, you reinvest it, and you keep doing what you're doing. Because if you don't, and it sounds really sad, you're really keeping up with the Joneses. You have to. It's an arms race in college sports, especially college football. And so for all the fans that don't understand that and say, well, it's only $1 million, let me ask you something, whether it's $1 million or $2 million, whatever the number is for K-State to go play Stanford and leave Manhattan to go to Dallas. If you are a person, I go up to you and I say, I will give you $1 million to move your house to another town, would you do it?
Probably so.
Probably so. Yeah, probably so. If I told you I'll give you $2 million and you've got to move, and I'll give you $2 million just to move so I can have your house, would you do it?
Likely.
Of course you would. But then these same fans go, K-State, it's only $1 million or $2 million. I mean, they're selling themselves out for the money. Oh, come on. You'd do the same thing. I mean, if you had a chance, you would. Well, 90-some percent, if not more, would. It's just the way it is. But yet, K-State's supposed to turn down the money? You can come back and say, we still got 7 home games.
Yeah.
It's not like you took away where you only have 4 or 5. You still have 7 after this game on a neutral site. So that's the business side, the money side, and behind-the-scenes side of it. And fans don't want to understand it. And they want to feel like they're getting shorted. And you are. I agree with you. You are getting shorted. But understand why you're being shorted.
Yeah.
It's because then down the line when those same fans go, well, we can't keep up with KU's practice facilities now, and they're making all this money, and you're like, and you're complaining about, we don't have enough money for this, we don't have money for this, and I don't know, the stadium's falling apart, and it's cracking, and we got this, and the suite isn't as nice as I thought, and I paid this money, it should be nicer. You can go back and say, but you were complaining about K-State getting that money because you wanted the game to be at home to fit your schedule. People don't see the big picture, do they?
No, there's too many people that don't. I mean, we understand it, obviously. Sure. And I understand it the second the release comes out, whenever it did during this winter there, that K-State was going to be moving their game to Dallas against Stanford. I mean, you know right away, it's money. That's the only reason they're doing it. But, yeah, I mean, people don't analyze and look into that stuff. A lot of them are just simply worried about K-State and don't have a whole climate of what's actually going on in the landscape, right, of college athletics. They just know that, hey, I go to K-State games, I have home season tickets, that's all I care about. Right. I don't care about the ins and outs logistics of it. I was supposed to have 8 home games, and now I only have 7. I mean, that's some of them people, that's just how they think. They don't understand the other side of it.
No, you're right. You're right. Now, you know, Todd said in deal, he goes, Oklahoma's really upset because they were planning on having a whole bunch of recruits coming in for this weekend and so forth, and it's a huge deal. There's other games on the schedule.
There's better games than Nebraska, Oklahoma.
There's better games. I mean, you can adjust. I mean, you can do this. There's adjustments you can be made. I mean,
you don't just schedule this game and then act like it's going to be the same game as it ever was, well, like in the past, right? You don't schedule Oklahoma, Nebraska and be like, oh, we scheduled the game, so we're going to have it's going to be huge. It's going to be a great game. Both teams are just flying high and ready to go. That's not how it works. It's a fun game to play, right?
Right.
I think everybody kind of knows that Nebraska is not what they were, and this is not that game.
Right. And by the way, it isn't just one Saturday where kids can come on recruiting visits. There's all kinds. You got weekends throughout the football season. High school
there
kids can come.
Big 12 games.
So Oklahoma put all their eggs in that basket for a Nebraska Oklahoma game at home, not knowing what time the game was. Well, maybe they should have waited a little bit, maybe, perhaps. Maybe they had the rush and let everybody know before, and that there's an arms race there just to pick the right weekend so recruits come in instead of going to the Alabama game. I don't know.
TV networks don't care about your recruiting visits. Let's put it that way, too.
Right. Right.
People that are making those decisions.
Yep, absolutely. And listen, you can sit here and you can sit. This is funny. I've got this. People talk about long drives. Like 11 a.m. is not good for a long drive, but 7 p.m. is?
On the backside of it, yeah.
Because like, I've left Oklahoma game at 11 o'clock at night, and let me tell you something. You know, if I had to drive back, I'd get back at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So if you're not
I left Stillwater after a rain delay, right, and a lightning delay. We got back at like 3:30 in the morning, and the Stillwater's only like 4 hours from here.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's on the backside. That was a 6:30 start, but we didn't get home until 3 because there was a lightning delay.
Look, if I want to go Oklahoma game, you know what time I want? 2:30.
Absolutely.
That's what I want.
Yeah, if I'm going anywhere, a 4 or 5 hour trip.
I can leave in the morning. Yeah. I can go to the game. I can come back. Don't have to pay a hotel room. Save myself some money because I probably spent good money on the ticket. I want 2:30. I don't want 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. I want 2:30. I mean, night game atmosphere is really cool at these places. Don't get me wrong. It's nice. But then you either got to drive all the way back until the wee hours of the morning, or you got to pay for a hotel. And sometimes that's pricey because it's game night.
Yeah.
So I honestly, 11 a.m. is, I mean, you could argue that 7 p.m. is just as bad as 11 a.m. in regards to, for fans in some cases, yeah, other than the tailgating. The only problem is that may be the best thing in disguise. You didn't get all lubed up and liquored up to where you won't get in trouble. 11 a.m., you're less likely to get in trouble. 7 p.m. and then 11 p.m., a little bit different. Okay? All right, let's move on. NBA playoffs. Last night, let's go through the games from last night real quickly. We'll get a state track and field report here in just a little bit. Dusty's working on all that. We'll do that here in a little bit. The Bucks cruise over the Heat. Glad I didn't pick the Heat to win that one. 113-84 was the final, and so the Bucks are one game away from sweeping. They've rolled the Heat. I'm surprised by that, but the Bucks do look vastly improved. Drew Holiday makes a big difference. Lakers beat the Suns, and I told my oldest son right before the series began, I said, this is the worst matchup for the Suns playing the Lakers. And the Suns win game one, all of a sudden you start feeling all warm and fuzzy, and now the Lakers are up 2-1. Not surprised. Anthony Davis, 34 points, 11 rebounds. Lakers made adjustments. The Suns are a younger team. Chris Paul's not 100% healthy. Nuggets have come back on the Blazers. They're now up 2-1. And that best of seven, they win in Portland 120-115. Jokic, 36 points, 11 rebounds. He was fantastic again last night. Damian Lillard, 37, but just not quite enough in that one. So we go to Friday, the NBA schedule, 3 games today. It's the Hawks and the Knicks game 3 in Atlanta. 6 o'clock on ESPN. On ABC tonight, 7:30, it's the Celtics against the Nets. Nets are up 2-0. And the Clippers, boy, they have to win this one. They're at the Mavericks, down 2-0, and got to go to Dallas now, the 4 at the 5. And then looking ahead to Saturday, by the way, that game's on ESPN. Saturday, you got 4 games on the docket tomorrow. 12:30, Heat-Bucks game 4. Bucks chance to close it out. Game 4, Nuggets Trailblazers on TNT as well. Evening games on ESPN, Sixers-Wizards, Sixers up 2-0, and the Jazz-Grizzlies tied 1-1 game 3, 8:30 tomorrow night on ESPN. Hockey playoffs last night, team moving on.
Aho, McKinnon, Teravainen up front, Hamilton and Slavin who connected on the goal. Hamilton with it again, he wrist one, he scores! The series is over! Jacob Slavin sending the Hurricanes into the second round!
Hurricanes beat the Predators 4-3 in overtime, so they do move on to the second round. They win the best of seven series 4-2, and the Canadiens win 4-3 in overtime as well. And so Toronto's lead is now shrunk to 3-2 after the Canadiens win game 5. Tonight you got a game 7, which I'm telling you, game 7 is the best thing in sports. It's the Minnesota Wild at the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Game 7, winner take all to move on NBC Sports Network at 8 o'clock. Friday night. Prime time, game 7, hockey can't even get on NBC. If you're a hockey fan, you talk about people have a right to complain and bellyache. That's a bigger deal than K-State playing 11 a.m. against Stanford in Dallas or Oklahoma and Nebraska playing 11 a.m. That's a bigger deal. That's a game 7 winner take all, not a regular season game. And it's on NBC Sports Network. And then tomorrow, Maple Leafs Canadiens game 6 and Islanders Bruins, the Islanders and the Bruins game 1 of their second round series, and that'll be at 7 o'clock. And guess what? That game tomorrow night, Saturday, that one, game 1 tomorrow night at 7 o'clock between a New York and Boston team. Oh, NBC, Minnesota and Las Vegas, game 7 tonight, NBC Sports Network. What great show does NBC have on Friday night at 8 o'clock?
I'm not sure.
And I bet you they probably don't have anything. I don't know. Has Kardashians moved over there? I don't know. French Open draw has come out, the brackets and everything. And how about this? Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic all on the same half of the bracket.
Fun times.
That's just, that takes away, that's no good.
No.
I know they do it based on seeding and this and that, and I know that, you know, they're not technically 1, 2, and 3 ranked in the world, but how can those three be on the same half of the bracket for a major? I mean, everybody on the other half of the bracket going, hey,
well,
just beat each other up, baby.
Beat them all up, and somebody over here is going to get into the finals.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go abbreviated quick little report from Dusty, and then we'll have a regular report coming up here in about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, we do have final results for a couple of our Beloit athletes that were competing in those 8 o'clock field events this morning. Grady Seifert finishes in ninth place, I should say. Or no, he's fifth place. Grady Seifert, fifth place in the 3A boys discus. I was looking at two different things. Throws 150 and 10 inches to finish in fifth place. So there's Grady's result there in Class 3A boys discus. Then in the Class 3A girls pole vault, Allie Hayflager finished in ninth place for Beloit as she went 9 feet even. So just missing off of a state medal by one spot there for Allie. But Grady Seifert, again, finishing in fifth place for the Trojans, is a state medalist for Beloit in the 3A boys discus.
All right.
So that's what we have right now anyway.
All right, we'll keep you updated. I have another report here in about 10 minutes or so. And the Chiefs preseason schedule has been finalized. And let me complain about what time and where they play. I'm kidding. This is what a bunch of horse pucky, Dusty. The Chiefs only have one preseason game at home. I wanted to waste my money watching Scrubs. Okay, so see, it's easy to complain. The Chiefs have at the 49ers on August 14th on a Saturday. And then the second preseason game at the Arizona Cardinals. In the evening on a Friday, August 20th. August 27th on a Friday is the third and final preseason game and the only home preseason game, and the Chiefs will be taking on the Vikings, and that'll be a preseason game where none of the Chiefs starters will probably play. And if you don't know, this is funny. I saw this the other day. So there's a promo running all over the place on ESPN talking about an NFL network, talking about this season is going to be the biggest season ever in the NFL. And I had some people going, what makes this season so much better than any other season? I mean, this is just a whole bunch of trying to plug themselves because of COVID. No. Technically, they're right. It's the biggest season ever. This just in. 17 regular season games. That's the biggest regular season ever. It is the biggest season ever. It might be a whole bunch of duds, but it's going to be the most games ever in a regular season. And the preseason shrunk to 3 games, which I'm okay with all of that. So you know who should be the happiest person in the world right now? Todd Clover. Todd Clover, if you're listening to me right now, I know he might be upset about Nebraska Oklahoma 11 a.m. Whatever. Let me make him feel better. The person that's got to feel the best about this whole 17-game regular season is Todd Clover. And any other Miami Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
Why?
Can't go 8-8, right?
That's one. Yes, that's part of it. That was subpoint B for me. Subpoint B, let's work our way up. Subpoint B.
It's an extra game that teams have to win
to go undefeated. There's boom, Dusty's all over it. We didn't even discuss that. Yes,
as a Dolphins fan today, this is why it's better, and this is why as a whole.
Yes. Point B is that it's great for the Dolphins, their 17 regular season games, because now they
go 9-8.
Unless they get a tie, they cannot go 8-8. So the Dolphins will not be 8-8. They'll either be 9-8 or 8-9. All right, that's awesome. Todd's happy with that. No more 8-8s, right? But the thing that Todd's really excited about, I guarantee you, is that he can still hang his hat on the Dolphins at 72 going undefeated, although now they will have played 3 less games than anybody does in the future because the NFL's gone to 17. So your chances of going undefeated have become even less likely by adding another regular season game. I'm okay with it. I don't care if anybody goes undefeated ever again, but Dolphin fans do. Hanging on to something that's happened 49 years ago, they're hanging on to it, and you can have it, you can keep it, you can pop the champagne every year somebody loses. That's fine, but that does help that 72 team to live for the rest of eternity with being the only team going undefeated. All the records will show that they played 3 less games, 2, now 3 less games because the regular season is 17 games long this year. So is it the biggest NFL season ever? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, track and field report's coming up again in a little bit.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.